Good evening and welcome to Matters of Life. I'm your host, John Lussier, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining me this evening as we get into discussing the Father's heart. And the Father's heart applies to many different things, but we're going to look at it. So as one of the things that we've been talking about is holding the Lord in a right perspective. So let's do that. Let's learn from the Lord, from His Word, so we can understand Him, His ways and His thoughts, His heart towards us, and allow that change in our perspective of the Lord, of Him, His ways, His thoughts, His love towards us, so that we can come into alignment with Him. Before we get into the Word, we're going to just take a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for You. That You're our God, that You always have purposed and intended to give us Your best in every area and aspect of life so that we can become conformed to the image of Your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank You. We thank You for sending Your Holy Spirit to lead us, to teach us, to guide us in all truth, and that declares to us things to come, Lord. We welcome You in this place. This place here in the studio, but also wherever the listeners are, to have Your way. Again, that we would become more conformed to Your image. So that when people see us, they're truly seeing You in and through us. We give You all the glory and the honor and the praise. In the name, almighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. All right, well, so we're going to get into Isaiah 43. So again, we can get this right perspective. We'll begin in verse 11. It says, I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there is no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. And I am God. Even from eternity I am He, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and that will bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, into the ships in which they rejoice. I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. Do not call to mind the former things, nor ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I form for myself will declare my praise. So we're going to stop there for a moment in the scripture reading. And in getting a right perspective of the Lord, the first thing that the Lord is doing here is addressing Himself and who He is. You know, whether it's the Lord towards us, or I'll say children towards their parents. I'll say us towards the Lord, or children to their parents. Oftentimes, we, towards the Lord or the children, hold an incorrect perspective of their parents, what they're capable of, what they have done and are able to do for the child and the life of the child. They hold things in a, well, I'll say, incorrect perspective through a skewed lens or view of what has happened in their life and why it has happened. Now, first and foremost, everything, every good and perfect thing comes from the Lord. And it's good for us to understand that. But it's interesting how the Lord is saying that, hey, look, understand this. There's no Savior besides me. There and I did all this, and there was no strange god among you. In other words, you were not serving falsely another god. And he's telling them to recall, to remember these things. He says, you're my witnesses. Like, you've not only observed this, but you've also experienced it. And then even in verse 13, hold the Lord in the right perspective. Even from eternity, I am he, and there's none who can deliver out of my hand. I act. Nobody can reverse it. Then he says, and this is the important part. We love to understand who the Lord is, and we love it when it's a blessing and a benefit for us. We're about to receive something. We absolutely want to know the Lord's heart then, towards us especially. But then in verse 15, he says this, "Thus says the Lord your God, Redeemer of the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon." She's talking about captivity. Now, we can also view this as a form of discipline. But we have to understand it from the right perspective. Because oftentimes, whether it was, and the captivity is not, I'll say it in this way, he is talking about going away from your home, from their land, from where the Lord had brought them into bondage, into captivity. Now, there are have been plenty of times where they also had enemy invaders that had laid siege, or in Christ's time with the Romans, that had taken over the land, and ultimately they were still in captivity. It appeared very similar. And or they had wicked kings and leaders which put the people into captivity. And I know many are probably looking, considering, especially if they're right now thinking about the United States of America, or your nation, has that what the leaders or those enacting administrations, the current administrations, have done to the people? Put them in bondage, ultimately, with or without the chains. Have they persecuted them? Have they treated them just as an individual would that put them in captivity and brought them to a far-off land? That's something for us to consider. But the Lord's saying, hold this in a right perspective. Now, in holding it in a right perspective, there's multiple aspects because of the manifold wisdom of the Lord of how we need to view this. Natural individuals, natural carnally minded perspective is, I've got to resist and I've got to fight. Where the Lord's saying, no, view this the way I'm viewing it. The Lord does not want to discipline. It's not his desire. But let's understand the purpose, because the Lord never acts without a purpose, a desired goal and end state for his children in mind. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. We'll begin in verse 7. He said, it is for discipline that you endure. Well, actually, begin in verse 6. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But you, if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our own good, that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems to not be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And that is absolutely important as part of the premise of this show, right? And it's something that I'll say pretty much every show, we encourage you and thank you for standing for righteousness and for justice. But in order to get to that point, we have to be refined. And when we are not in alignment with the Lord, not walking in his ways, not standing for the Lord, for his righteousness and for his justice, then we are in opposition to him and require discipline in order to draw us near to him and his ways. And his way is righteous. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. It is part of his holiness. It is part of who he is. So he's saying, look, this has happened. Discipline has happened as a result of not walking in my ways, but going after other gods. And you can see this throughout the entirety of Scripture. Whether it was, well, say, the children of Israel when they went into captivity in Egypt. Whether it was during Elijah's day. And the people were essentially under bondage by their own people in their own nation. You could also make the argument with Jeremiah in Jeremiah's day concerning going off into captivity to Babylon, of all places. And same with Daniel's day. Although there's overlap there. But understanding those things, this happens when people refuse to just come into alignment and follow the Lord, with him being their God and we being his people. With him and the structure that he created being our Heavenly Father and we being his children. But the Lord doesn't stop there. It's not discipline for discipline's sake. He also says, look, the ones I've used to discipline you, I'm going to hold them accountable. And the Lord continues in this and says, look, I'm the one that makes, I created Israel. He's saying, I created you, the Lord did. And he says, I'm the Lord. I make a way through the sea. I path through all the through the mighty waters. I bring forth the chariot and the horse. Right? He's referring now again to Israel being delivered from Egypt during the time of Moses. It's a callback to that. And he's saying, look, I delivered them and I brought what they did. They reaped what they sowed during the time of discipline and captivity. And the Lord holds those accountable. He holds those that, well, he holds everyone accountable. Everyone he uses is called to act. Everyone on the face of the earth is called to act in accordance with the Lord and his command. Because we're all created in his image and likeness. And as it says, that he's the one that formed us, as of verse 21, the people I formed for myself will declare my praise. Well, he formed us all in the womb. That's exactly what's said in the beginning of Jeremiah. So we have to understand those things. But he also reminds us in this section of scripture we just read about restoration. The discipline is not to go on endlessly with the Lord. It is so we learn righteousness and how to walk in it and how to apply it for our lives. We should not be resisting and fighting the Lord during discipline. But oftentimes, unfortunately, that is what happens. We think of just like in Jeremiah's day and the people that were going to go into captivity. Well, we'll just fight against them and we'll conquer them. And then we can continue our way of life and doing all the things that were in opposition to the Lord. And then the Lord's like, no, you don't understand. And that's what I'm referring to is in Jeremiah 32 and in chapter 33. And the Lord is saying, no, understand this in full. The Lord declared even the beginning of this episode, right? Verses 11 through 13 that we read in Isaiah 43. The Lord has saying, whatever he says goes, he controls the outcome. He will allow and determine what will happen in order to bring his people back to him. But understand that the Lord has already promised restoration. That is part of the purpose or what's included in the discipline. It's not endless discipline. It's always designed to be for a period so we learn and move forward in the things of the Lord so we can be restored. And there's also a reminder, right? Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. And that's both, whether that was what we thought was the glory days, where things seem to be going so well, or, and especially what's important, is not allow the sin, the iniquity, the wickedness that was engaged in to guilt us or shame us, because that doesn't come from the Lord. That is only from the adversary in order to an attempt to keep people into bondage. But the Lord's saying, look, I'm doing something new. I'm restoring you. I'm making all this new again in your life. That's part of the restoration. And he says, look, the people are going to give me praise. And then, yes, because the Lord is gracious and merciful, he continues with the rest of this chapter, verses 22 through 28, talking about, yes, the restoration, but he's teaching us not through discipline. Well, and I'll say, yes, let me correct myself here. Discipline is not always having something removed or taken away. And it's not always, as we oftentimes read, especially in the Old Testament, and we were just studying in Numbers, it's not always through death. Now, rest assured, sin, when it reaches its fullness, always produces death. It's also reaping and sowing. And we've been given the blood of Christ to bring things underneath. We can humble ourselves. We can repent. We can turn to the Lord and allow the Lord to be our shield and buckler, to come in under the covering that is his blood. In discipline, the Lord always begins in conversation. The very first thing mentioned about the Holy Spirit, he will convict. He will convict of his people of sin. Is the very first thing. So he's going to tell us, let us know when we have done something or said something that is out of alignment with the Lord and his perfect will. So in this, it says very plainly, I'll begin in Isaiah 43, verse 22. Yet you have not called on me, O Jacob, but you have become weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought to me the sheep of your burnt offerings. You have not honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have bought me not sweet cane with money, nor have you filled me with the fat of your sacrifices. Rather, you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. Some translations say, let us reason together. Right? State your cause that you may be proved right. Your first forefathers sinned, and your spokesmen have transgressed against me. So I will pollute the princes of the sanctuary, and I will consign Jacob to the ban and Israel to revilement. Now, let's understand what's fully being said there. As we talked about restoration, which is the Lord's intended purpose with discipline. And we have to get to a place where in the discipline process, because with everything, with the Lord's refinement is a process. And sometimes, and you actually all the time, again, with the examples that we stated, whether it was the children of Israel in the wilderness, or sorry, in Egypt, in the wilderness, and throughout, right? Daniel's day, Jeremiah's day, all these times where they were in captivity and bondage, right? Even in the time of Jesus the Christ, when the Romans had occupied the land, or were occupying the land. All these various times where there was bondage, it was intended to draw the people closer to the Lord. Now, oftentimes, as we were saying, we insist on trying to fight against it. And the Lord allows us to go through until we get to a place where we can now have our ears and our eyes open to hear and see what the Lord is saying and showing us about why things are the way they are, and what we are to do. So he's saying, you haven't now, he's saying, this is what I intended to have happen. That was in verses 16 through 21 of chapter 43. But now we get to verse 22, and he's saying, these are the ways in which you missed it, which you fell short. We didn't revere the Lord. We didn't honor him. We didn't hold him as holy. But we went and sought after other things. We burdened the Lord by our actions and our deeds, by our words. So our sin and our iniquity, we burdened the Lord. We grieved him. But he's saying, look, understand this, because he's, again, in verse 25, he's the one that wipes out our transgression. Not because of anything we've done. He says he does it for his own sake. But he's saying, if you want to get this together, if you want to get this right and put me and that is the Lord, but also our relationship in a right perspective, we have to put the Lord in our remembrance. We have to talk things out with the Lord. It's a relationship. And the Lord is there to teach us, to guide us. If we are to fight against anything, it's to fight or stand in what the Lord is teaching us, because his ways are righteous and they are just. But when we don't, that's when we become polluted. And that's when we are then subject to the ban or to bondage and to revilement, to be looked on as a disgrace, as someone who is in captivity. Now, the Lord is there to bring us out always. Is that what we're willing to do, or are we actually, in fact, resisting the Lord instead of understanding the Lord's perspective and his heart towards us? His heart is never to trouble us. Again, every good and perfect thing comes from the Lord. What are we willing, or I'll say it in this way, are we willing to learn? Are we willing to see things from the Lord's perspective? You know, Daniel did the same thing. He, just like many others, right? Moses had to endure, not the captivity side of things so much, although there was an aspect of that, but he had to endure with the people through the wilderness while they went through this. There was a deliverance process to happen, but there was also a refining process to happen with two generations to prepare them to go in to the land. Elijah, the same thing. He experienced the drought. He experienced all the things that happened as a result of falling away from the Lord. And many others. You can look at Hebrews in the Great Faith chapter and all these individuals who endured with the people. Daniel got to the point, and actually many, Moses, we talked about that in Numbers, and eventually Aaron, got to a place where they prayed, they interceded for the people, as all these heroes of faith did in chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. Is that what we're doing? Like Daniel, are we interceding for the people? Are we repenting on their behalf and seeking the Lord to deliver us? Because that's exactly what he's talking about, again, from, well, really verse 14 through 21. He's talking about our deliverance. And I'd say it's coming. It's already done in the Spirit and then by the Spirit. And yes, the manifestation is all but upon us. Are we ready for that? Are we viewing things from and holding the Lord rightly and in the right perspective? Or are we still resisting him and what he is trying to teach us? Have we opened our ears to that? Are we viewing things and what he's trying to show us so we can be restored to righteousness, to declare his praise? That choice is ours. It's a choice that Moses set before the people. I've set before you today a blessing and a curse, but choose life so it'll be well with you and your generations after you. Joshua set the same choice before the people. You choose this day whom you will serve. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What will you choose for you, for your life? Now, when we look at this situation, even again with Elijah, there's a similar statement made. How long will you be of two opinions? If God's God, serve him. God is God. And he's stated all these examples as to why he is God. Will we hold him in a right perspective? Will we honor and revere him as he is to be honored and revered? And will we praise him, forgetting none of his benefits, of his blessings? And that's not the reason why we honor and revere the Lord. We're to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things are added to us. All these wonderful things we've read about restoration, which he intends and purposes to do for his people. Because he is a loving God, full of grace and mercy, full of loving kindness and compassion. And he is a God of righteousness, and he is just in his ways. He doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. That would be unjust. His desire is that none would perish. His will, his desire, is that none would perish, but all enter in. So what will we do? Will we enter in? You for you, me for myself, but for us as a nation. You know, again, in Elijah's day, and I bring this up because something the Lord has put on my heart for a while is, let's just take the past. We're coming up on 3.5 years where many are, I'll say, grown weary and considered it a time of bondage or drought in the land. And the Lord has still sustained his people. And yes, we are about to be delivered. It's about to manifest. Are we in right standing with the Lord? I encourage you to hold him rightly, to humble ourselves and to repent if you have not done so already. Entering into that true, intimate, perfect, deep, and personal relationship with the Lord, where he's your God and you are his servant, or in the structure he has, you're his son or daughter. And he is your heavenly Father. So I want to encourage you to do that today. And thank you for joining me. And thank you, those who have chosen to stand for righteousness and for justice. Love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.